Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What's happening? Welcome back. You're still getting real with the Realest Man on radio. Good to be back with you. I have a new commentary that's out about the defund police movement on V103 and WAOK. There's been so much misinformation intentionally, and even Bill O'Reilly tried to spin that misinformation toward me, and I had to shut Bill down on his own program. Defund the police movement is not about eliminating the police department, but reimagining what policing looks like and creating new priorities in the budget to address the underlying issues that lead to criminality in the first place. That's what defund the police is about. I have a new commentary. Check it out. Ladies and gentlemen, I have something special I'm doing on CBS 46 News, and I'm telling the true story about young residents near the Wendy's patrolling their own community. Now, I've seen the articles. They're calling them thugs and everything else. And I do find that interesting because if they were white males, they would be called patriots right now. But that's a different conversation. As mentioned earlier, Natalie Hannah White, 29 years of age, was charged with first-degree arson after a Wendy's ignited in flames one day after the killing death of Rayshard Brooks in the city of Atlanta. Her attorney was able to secure a bond for her yesterday. Her attorney is Drew Findling. I've known Drew for many years. He's one of the absolute best trial attorneys, not just in America, but really on the planet, and recognized for being a super lawyer. Drew, thank you for being on the show. How are you?
Of course, Rashad. Thanks for having me, Rashad.
Okay, let's get into what led up to her turning herself in or surrendering to the authorities. I will start there, and then I get into more of the meat of the case.
Absolutely. Rashad, as you know, it became public that there was a warrant for her arrest over the weekend. Determining that there was a warrant, I've worked on so many cases with some of the higher level assistant prosecutors in Fulton County. I had some cell numbers available. I reached out to some of my colleagues that I know well from the district attorney's office, actually on Father's Day. They were, of course, very appreciative of what I was doing. After several conversations, it was agreed we'd talk the next day. And of course, that would include the district attorney himself, Paul Howard. We talked over the course of that day. And then it led into the next day. They were obviously very busy with another case. I would have fathomed that would namely be the case involving the death of Rayshard Brooks. And then it went into the next day on Tuesday, and we ultimately secured the turn-in. I was given contact for the marshal's office. Eventually, two people from the marshal's office came to my office. And they let me finish out meeting with Natalie, and then they took her away. So that's that.
What was that? What was that meeting like?
I mean, it's a really very, very difficult situation. As you know, and others know, I will at this point not talk about any relationship that she had with Mr. Brooks. I will not talk about the nature of their friendship, because I want to respect Rayshard Brooks' family and what they're going through right now. I think that's most important.
But you can acknowledge they did know each other.
Absolutely, absolutely. So obviously you can, anybody can fathom those that were close to him are really suffering right now. And so, of course, I'm balancing the fact that my client, who has no criminal record, is wanted on a felony, but also very, very sad and hurt about the death. That, you know, it's one thing when someone dies and you leave it to your imagination as to how they actually, you know, passed. But when you watch it over and over again, that's really tough for people. And we've learned that. We've learned that collectively as a community and even as a nation recently.
Did your client burn down the Wendy's?
My client did not burn down the Wendy's. And, you know, let's just think about all of the different videos. And Rashad, they're just coming in left and right to me. People are just sending all of these different views. And you could see that the Wendy's was fully engaged at that point. And so she walks up. I'm not going to get into the specifics, but there's no way that she sets that Wendy's on fire. That is pure silliness. And so right now, Natalie is a distraction, right? She's a distraction. There's so much going on in our city, in our community. You know, we're rethinking law enforcement in our city. We're rethinking the role of law enforcement. You were spot on in talking about the defunding and the frauds out there that are trying to make defunding into abolishing law enforcement. And so she is a distraction. Let's just pick out somebody and say they lit the Wendy's on fire. No, there were people that were responsible. There were people that I can only imagine are frustrated, are angry, are just shocked by what's happened in our community, both on an individual basis for what happened to Mr. Brooks, but collectively for what they've seen through their lifetimes, what their parents have shared about their lifetimes, what their grandparents have shared about their lifetimes. And this seems to be coming to a head in our society. And so with all this frustration, this incident took place here as it has in other communities. And Natalie White, who's somebody that in no way tried to conceal her identity, Rashad. Let's just be really clear about this. There's no mask. There's no ninja outfit. There's no claim that she's one of these people that is coming in from around parts of the country trying to, you know, make folks look bad and conceal her identity at all. And the fact that not only does she make zero attempt to conceal her identity, but we heard Rayshard Brooks enunciate her name loud and clear. So now we have somebody, we have a distraction, we have somebody that's easy to identify, and we're just going to blame it on her. And that's just the reality of it. She did not light it on fire. And anybody that has an understanding of these cases understands that.
Many are calling her the scapegoat. What would you say to that comment?
I think that's, you know, let's be clear about a scapegoat. For anybody else that's out there that night, I don't want to say she's a scapegoat for them, because I'm not looking in any way to condemn anybody that was there that night. You know me. You're my friend. That's not mm-hmm. the way I practice law. That being right. said, she is the shiny object. Okay, she is something to blame right now to take the focus away from other issues that are concerning the community and that are leading to the voice of Atlanta, Rashad Ritchie. And I say that sincerely. You know I mean that. I think that everything about you right now is the voice of Atlanta. She's trying to distract people from listening to the Rashad Ritchies of the world that are trying to educate the public as to our needs to reform and to change and to take a deep breath. And in what really makes this country, adjust and move forward. But why do that now when we can just blame somebody? And that's when I hear scapegoat, that's how I interpret scapegoat.
Drew, I got to bring this up, man, because in my research of the story, naturally, I always do my online research. I do an image research. And there was one picture available, and it was the mugshot. That's the picture that should be available. That's the picture clearly of her face in the mugshot. And then I run across this picture in Google Images, and it is seemingly connected to the Marshall Service. And it looks like she's in an office setting. Can you explain that picture?
Yeah, I can. So when I... when we turned her in and the marshal showed up, and I preface it by saying I told them we were in a meeting. They respected the fact that they were meeting, and they waited it out, never saying, hey, move it along or anything like that, because they knew that I was in contact with the district attorney's office. And let's just get one thing out of the way, Rashad, and that is there is no, you know, I've seen these tweets about the incredible collaboration of law enforcement in making this happen. No, this is her attorney doing what's expected of me and crediting the other side that I was in contact for 72 hours with prosecutors trying to do this in an orderly way. She's not Jesse James, okay? She's not somebody that's, you know, trying to conceal her identity. She's somebody that went to Norcross High School, University of Georgia, known in the community. She's not trying to in any way conceal who she is. I was in contact. I arranged by collaborating with the district attorney's office her turn-in. Marshall's office showed up, and when they come into my office, and let me say the sanctity of my office, not because it's Drew Findling's office, because it's an office that's cloaked with the Sixth Amendment of the United States Constitution, your right to competent and effective counsel. When there is a sanctity of that office, somebody from the marshal's office immediately takes a picture and says it's a before and after because we are in an unmarked vehicle, so when we get to the jail, we could take another picture to show that she safely arrived. Okay, take that picture. That picture that you're referencing is the before picture. It was done with a specific purpose to show that nothing happened to her. How it ultimately shows up in tweets by sheriff departments and law enforcement to show that they collaborated and they did this incredibly great job is just plain out a misnomer and a fiction, and a really, really upsetting to me and anybody that values the right of seeing counsel, conferring with counsel, and being cloaked with that constitutional representation. And here's what bothers me about it. So I want to be really clear. We are at a moment in time, Rashad, when people, the community, the state, the nation has lost faith in law enforcement. Can we agree on that? Can we agree on that? And so at that moment in time, when you know that this community, this state, and this nation is questioning your role and even talking about redoing and reestablishing who you are, to then turn around to a lawyer that works hand in hand with the prosecution to do what is right, and you manipulate that picture, and by doing so, attack the very fabric of our Constitution, which is that Sixth Amendment, that adds to that lack of faith. It builds on that lack of faith in law enforcement. And so I am shocked and I am saddened, and anybody that takes the position that is supporting these folks in law enforcement and prosecution, they need to go back to the drawing board and think what went wrong there, because they're not supporting their cause. It's just building on this mistrust.
That is it, and that's all it does. And the first agency that I saw, and maybe there was an agency before as far as media, but the first media agency I saw post the picture that was in your office was the AJC. I'm thinking that the photo was leaked intentionally to the media. Drew, I got a couple of more questions for you, man. Hold on for me. I'm coming right back on the other side. I have the attorney of Natalie Hanna White, 29-year-old female, who has been charged with first degree arson for the Wendy's that ignited a day after the police killing of Rayshard Brooks. Drew Findling is on the show. We got more on the other side. You're getting real with the realest man on radio, the Rashad Richard Morning Show. Let me just remind everyone that I created a new series in Rolling Out. Rolling Out has a readership of 2.2 million, combined social media around 500,000. But I've created a series called Georgia Uncovered. And myself, along with a team of investigative journalists, we are looking at cases in Georgia where someone died, a black male, black female died under mysterious circumstances, but there was no local investigation nor prosecution. We are highlighting those stories. That series will kick off July 1st. You will see billboards around the city, and I will make sure I keep you updated on those stories. It is a series coming directly to you unfiltered. I still have with me Drew Finling, attorney for Natalie Hannah White, 29 years of age. She has been charged with first-degree arson due to a Wendy's igniting one day after the killing death of Rayshard Brooks. Drew, thank you for remaining on the show.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about bond. You were able to secure bond for your client. According to the report that I have, that bond is a $10,000 bond, ankle monitor, as well as stay off of social media. I think everyone kind of understands the bond, but explain to us the stay off of social media aspect.
I'm happy to talk about the bond. And let me say the bond, what I'm saying is not a reflection on this particular judge, but really a reflection on the system itself. And the staying off the social media is this kind of misunderstanding, misapplication, and distortion of generally the judiciary in our country that somehow thinks there's some evil to social media, rather than dealing with it is everyday life. It is an expression of the First Amendment. It's your ability to read. Most people are not reading hard copies, journals and newspapers anymore. They go online. You know, they go online.
Correct.
And they don't want to read something at 8 a.m. Or 10 p.m. that came out at 8 a.m. And so they want to keep up with things. And so, but there seems to be this negative connotation that somehow when you go on Twitter and you go on Instagram and you go on Facebook, you're doing something wrong. No, that is 2020 and beyond. So that's this negative connotation. I do want to talk about the ankle monitor, if you don't mind. Now, Rashad, you lived through me, with me. Through the Victor Hill trial. And if I remember, you covered every minute of it. You were a fixture.
I did.
And if you remember, one of the turning points of that trial was a witness that the state had hoped they'd given her immunity. But one of the things they did that crossed the line with that witness, this former employee of the sheriff's department, is they put her on an ankle monitor. She lived in Florida, and then she refused to testify. And if you remember in the cross-examination of her, I talked about that, and I said the ankle monitor, without knowing her answer, was nothing but modern-day shackles. And she looked at the jury and said, yes, sir, they're electronic shackles. And that's what ankle monitors are. They are this system that we seem to be using out of control in Georgia and the United States. It's not dignified, it's inhumane, and it is nothing but a 21st century version of shackles. What is the point in shackling a 29-year-old girl? What is the point of doing that? There is no evidence that she's fleeing the jurisdiction. There's no evidence that she is somehow involved in some group of people that are moving their way through the United States. Here's the evidence. She's born, raised, lived here her entire life. Her movement is not an issue. Not a statement on this judge, but a statement on this system. And that's what we do to people. Well, whether it's put your hands behind your back when you've done nothing wrong, whether it's putting ankle monitors on people, we continue to dehumanize our citizenry. And this is just yet another example of it.
What kind of person is Natalie?
She's just a young lady that has gotten thrown into our criminal justice system, a broken criminal justice system that has been proven in 2020 to no longer be working the way it is. And now she's got to deal with everything. You know, remember, we know the criminal justice system, okay, is the greatest example, okay, of systemic racism, but it also highlights all inequities. And so now this girl with no record is thrown into it, and get ready for the roller coaster that is this system. This roller coaster that takes sometimes years to resolve cases, and over charges, over sentences, and keeps its citizens, okay, tied down, spiraling out of control for their lifetime. She is now being introduced to this. And, you know, Rashad, one of the things that I keep on saying that, you know, we've lived through this pandemic and this quarantine, and I try as best I can to always say to my own kids who you know my children, mm-hmm. to say, hey, the glass is half full, not half empty. How is it half full? Because this quarantine has really highlighted some of the problems in our society and our government. And one of the things that it's highlighted is this broken criminal justice system. We're all able to see how screwed up it is. And unfortunately for this young lady, who's never really been part of this, she's now going to experience this broken, shaky roller coaster that is America's criminal justice system.
Drew, she has the best in the game. You will give her not only adequate representation, you will give her superior representation. And every attorney who is working to prosecute her, they know that about you. Drew, I appreciate you, man. I appreciate your friendship. Tell the family I said hello, okay?
Absolutely, Rashad. Thank you, sir.
All right. Drew Findling, attorney for Natalie Hannah White, a 29-year-old female charged with first-degree arson in connection to the fire at the Wendy's one day after the killing of Rayshard Brooks. We got more on the other side. You're getting real with the realest man on radio, the Rashad Richard Morning Show.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.